Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Hallelujah. As we're here in His presence, I believe we want to just give a moment for the Lord to have His way. And the presence of God is very special, and it's where our lives change. It's really where the Holy Spirit does His work. And we are in His presence this morning. And I know, as I stand here, that there are some of you here in this room that God is absolutely cleansing, and He is washing you of the shame and of the sense of failure and like you've messed up. And I want to just remind you something. God loves you so, so much. And it doesn't matter what you've done. Not that what you may or may not have done is great. But God wants to wash you and forgive you and cleanse you right now because you're in His presence. There are others in this room, and I want you just to receive this. You're in pain today. You're in emotional pain. You're in physical pain. And the Lord loves you. And He's touching you right now, right where you are. It's not because you're worthy, it's because He's worthy. And He is pouring out His love on you right now. And I just speak over your heart and I speak over your body, be healed in the name of Jesus. And for every one of us, I see this. He's washing us, He's forgiving us, and He's also anointing us with the Holy Spirit. Would you just lift your hands and receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit right now? As God just, as it were, just anoints your head with oil. He just blesses you and approves of you. He's not ashamed to call you His child. He's not ashamed to pour out His Holy Spirit upon you and give you power and give you peace. Now, Lord, I pray for a fresh anointing on every one of us, Lord. I pray that our hearts and lives will shift and change big time in this moment, Lord. That we will leave this place of Your presence, our faces glowing, Lord, changed, having been healed and washed and anointed afresh by the Holy Spirit. Break every chain, Lord. No depression, no anxiety, no fear can stand in Your presence, Lord. Those chains are breaking right now through the power of the Holy Spirit as You anoint us, Lord, right where we stand. We praise You, Lord Jesus, for Your goodness and Your kindness. Thank You for loving us, Lord. Thank You for washing us. Thank You for forgiving us. Thank You for anointing us afresh in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. And I want you to give the Lord a hand clap like never before. I want you to bless the Lord with all your heart.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Now I want to invite you to take your teaching outline. We're going to get right into the message. Today's a little bit of a kickoff to what's coming next week. You've been hearing in the announcements, and maybe you saw the table on the way in. We're starting for the next 6 weeks. Next Sunday, we begin 6 weeks together in this book called Pursue 2017. We'll have Sunday morning messages 6 weeks in a row on the theme that I'm going to be sharing, which is from the Lord, about pursuing Him and pursuing His presence. And all of us will have the opportunity to either host or to be a part of a small group then that meets that week, where what we'll do is we'll talk in our small groups about the message. So we go through the very same scriptures, and then we have a chance to interact, pray through, talk through, give our life stories, tell our story, hear somebody else's story, and interact with the Word of God in this special small group series. So if you're interested in hosting or in being a part of a Gateway small group for the Pursue series, it's 6 weeks long. Get your copy of the Pursue book in the lobby. Pastor Chris did a fantastic job putting all this together, and our pastors have written these messages, and it's just going to be a wonderful time. So check that out in the lobby on your way out. All right, there's a teaching outline there, and I want to welcome everyone to the sanctuary. If you're joining us online, it's exciting to have, 30, 40, 50 people. I was out of town last week. I was able to be with you during the first service because of our online outreach. So I'm grateful that you're joining us. And tonight, I'll mention too very quickly that we're going to have all of our team Gateway. That's everybody that's making our church happen, from ushers to elders to intercessors. If you want to be a part of what God is doing in our church in terms of ministry, or you are a part of it, meet us here tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to have about an hour together. I'm going to share some testimonies. Pastor Chris and the other pastors will be sharing some great stuff. And I'm going to bring a message on getting engaged in a great work. How to be engaged in a great work. That's tonight at 6 o'clock. Now we're gathering this morning across three campuses to look at these scriptures, and I'm excited to bring us into a principle that you've been hearing me allude to over the last several weeks, and that is this very important principle called you get what you go for. Would you say that with me? You get what you go for. In other words, there is a pursuit that we are responsible for the results and the directions in our life. You know, there's a big kind of a theological controversy. I don't want to bore you with what the theologians are fighting about, but different churches and different denominations and people, they argue about different things. And one of the things they're arguing about right now is something called the sovereignty of God and how sovereign God is. And of course, God is sovereign and he rules and he reigns and we believe that he does. But in the extreme sovereignty movement, they actually teach and believe that prayer is not quite as important and evangelism is not quite as important because after all, God has already chosen, he's sovereignly chosen everyone that's going to be saved. He's sovereignly chosen what he's going to do, and prayer isn't, you know, really that important because God has already decided all these things. And what that's done is created a great passivity in people. We live kind of with that reality, that feeling. Maybe it's not a result of a theological argument, but maybe it's just a lifestyle where we just kind of say, well, I don't really pray. I don't really evangelize. I really have to give. You know, after all, God's in control, and we don't really have to try. But the truth is that though God is sovereign, people are responsible to do their part. That we need to pray and we need to give and we need to share our faith. And there are things that will only happen in our lives if we pursue. So I'm talking about you get what you go for. That is that we have a part to play. That we don't get what we deserve in life. We don't get what we hope for in life. We don't get what we wait for in life. Here's what we get in life. We get the things we go for. We get the things that we actually pursue in life. My question for you is, what are you pursuing? What is your life really all about? And where will that pursuit take you in your life? The best things in life come from God, and we need to pursue it. And you know what I'm going to do for the next 6 weeks? Me and the rest of our pastors, we are going to teach and nag and preach, and we're going to be on this subject until you get 100% of what God has for you. Because we're not comfortable with you getting 10% of what God has for you. We want to get you in gear and get you moving in a direction that will absolutely land you in the perfect will of God with every blessing that Christ has died for you to have. Amen. Everyone say pursue. All right, so this is where we're going as a church, and it's a gold vein of truth that I really want to mine with you around the idea that we get what we go for. Where do we find this in Scripture? Well, it's from cover to cover, but one of the probably North Star scriptures for this series would be Philippians chapter 3, where Paul says, not that I have already obtained it. I'm not there yet. I haven't gotten everything that God has for me. I haven't obtained it, he says, and I haven't already been perfected, but he said, I am pursuing. So Paul the Apostle says, I'm on a hunt. My life is about getting everything that God has for me. And I pray that that is your journey as well. I pray that you are pressing into God. I pray that you are pursuing God's presence and his goodness and the six things that we're going to talk about over the next 6 weeks. God says, I've laid hold of your life. Now I want you to lay hold on your purpose. I saved you for a reason, the Lord says. Now I want you to press into that thing and lay hold of it, just like the Apostle Paul was talking about. I was watching a video that Pastor Napoleon Kaufman sent me. Maybe if there's time next week, I'll show it. It's only 3 minutes. It's a CBN produced video, because one of our elders was Napoleon Kaufman. He played for the Raiders, and we ordained him here in this church and sent him out to start a church called the Well Church in Livermore, California. His church is doing great. And he was telling in this CBN video that he texted to me, he was telling in this video how all of his life, he was a young boy, grew up without a father, kind of in a difficult situation, and all of his life he wanted to play football in the NFL, and he pursued it. And that dream came true. And not only did he make it into the NFL, but his favorite team was the Raiders, and he just dreamed of playing for the Raiders, and that was who drafted him. And he played 6 years for the Raiders, and he set records, many of which are still standing today. He's a fantastic running back, and here we are a week away from the Super Bowl. I don't know if anybody here cares about the Super Bowl next Sunday, but it's not the 49ers. It sure ain't the 49ers this year. And but anyway, what those pro athletes know, they understand if you want to get the Super Bowl ring, you got to pursue it. Now, Napoleon talked about how he was going for the NFL. He made it in the NFL. He played for 6 years, and then God called him. And he was serving the Lord. He was preaching and ministering and loving God and living right and all that during all the years that he was in the NFL. But then God called him to the full-time ministry, which is just a different place for him. And we talked together about it and prayed together about it. And so he started pursuing a career in full-time ministry, and now he's leading a church. Everybody say, you get what you go for. See, whether it's the NFL or ministry or whatever it is, you've got to put your heart into a direction. And you've got to, if you really want the ring, if you really want to win, if you really want everything that life has for you, you've got to pursue it. And so that's what we're talking about in this series on pursuit. Now, my question for us today, sort of as a kickoff, no pun intended question, all right, is the following. Which way are you going in 2017? So if we agree, if you and I agree this morning that you've got to pursue in order to obtain, right? You get what you go for, then a very important question becomes for every young person, every high school student, every college student, every dad, mom, whoever's listening to me, the question becomes, which way are you going? How are you going to pursue? What is the direction that you will take this year in 2017? What's the direction you'll take for the rest of your life? There are three ways that we can pursue in life, and I want to share them with you. Now, before I share those three ways that we can pursue in life, I want to just talk about this word ways. Everyone say ways. Ways. Now, we all have our ways. I have my ways. Some of my ways are quirky. Kathy has her ways. We just celebrated 35 years together last January 23rd, and I like her ways. Her ways are awesome. But her ways, some of our ways are, it doesn't really matter what way we do it. To me, it doesn't really matter what way. Now, you learn this in marriage. You learn that men are different than women. And you learn that everybody has their way, right? To me, it doesn't really matter how you load the dishwasher. The plates don't have to be straight. Just get them in there. That's my way. So we try not to load the dishwasher at the same time because she has her way that she wants it and I have my way. Another thing, we just had a trip together. Kathy's way of packing is different than my way of packing. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's just different ways. And how many of you recognize we all have our own ways, right? We all have our own ways. And if you don't think you have your ways, you're probably not married. And it's not really about right or wrong, but it is important for us to acknowledge one thing. God has his ways. And the Christian life really is about following God's ways. Now, there are three ways that people can go in life, and I want to ask you, which way is your way? The first way that people will go is the way of a fool. Number one, a fool tries to go his own way. Some of the ways that we have don't really make a big, it doesn't really matter which way you load the dishwasher. It doesn't really matter which way you pack. But on certain issues in life, you got to do it God's way. A fool won't do it God's way. A fool tries to do it his own way. Proverbs 16, verse 25 says, there is a what?
A way.
There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way to death. Have you ever gotten started on something and said, I know I'm right. This is going to work out fantastic. And it really blows up in your face and completely backfires. You go, well, that wasn't the right way. I used to have a boss. My first two or three jobs when I was 16, 14, 15, I got a job in the clothing industry, and I was doing retail clothing sales, and I had a manager. His name was Frank Yannarell, and Frank Yannarell's credo was this: it's my way or the... Do you know anybody like that? The only problem with it's my way or the highway is everybody hates you because you act like an idiot. As I got to know Frank Yannarell, he was very like, everything had to be even the quirky little things had to be his way, right? And as I got to know him, he was kind of like an angry guy and kind of like a bullheaded guy. And he would share little glimpses of his life and, you know, things about his marriage and things about his kid. And I was getting the picture as I got to know him and as I talked to other employees that worked for him for a long time, that everybody thought Frank Yannarell was a total jerk. Because, including his kids and including his wife, because he had this attitude that goes like this: it's my way or the highway. When you're focused on doing things, absolutely everything has to be your way, it never ends well. In fact, you might want to write this down. When you go your own way, like Frank Sinatra sang, I did it my way, right? When you go your own way, you end up in ruins. This is what the scripture said. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is in destruction. Now, a lot of times we don't want to let go of our own ways. We like our ways of doing things. That's my way. I don't try to ask me to change my way. But see, when it comes to, we've got to be honest enough to say, my way is not the right way. It might seem right, but it leads to destruction and you end up in ruins. And there's something about human beings. Every single person wants to do it their way. From the time you are a child, you don't want people messing with your way. But part of success in life is understanding not only do we have to pursue, but we have to pursue the right way. We've got to do it God's way. I hope and pray that you as parents, we dedicated some beautiful children, and there's hundreds of parents here that are part of our church. I hope you are training your children in something very important. And it goes like this. In our family, we do it God's way. We don't do it our way. Well, maybe if it's one of the fickle, funny little things that don't matter, you can let a child explore and have creativity and all that. But on certain things, right? On certain lifestyles, on certain principles, on certain moral issues, we're on a road, and we're going to choose the right road, and the road that we choose is a road called God's way. Teach your children in life that bad things happen when you do it simply your own way. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 10. This verse is very intriguing because I'm watching the news now. Many of you are as well, and you know about all the things that are happening in America. It's a crazy time, and people are just upset, and also so much is going on. And I just wonder, in the midst of all this, if God would show us His way. If God would just show our nation His way. Look at what Hebrews says. Therefore, the Lord was provoked with that generation. A whole generation of people were provoking the Lord. This happened to be the generation of the children of Israel walking in the wilderness and not listening to God. They were trying to do it their way. And God was provoked with them. And I look at our current generation, our 2017 generation today in America, and I go, I wonder if we're provoking God. God was provoked with an entire generation. And why? Why was that? He said they always go astray, where? In their heart. Proverbs says, guard your heart with all diligence, because it's your heart that really determines your direction in life. Out of your heart issue all of the issues of life. So he says their heart was not right, and their heart was taking them in their own way. And this is what God said. This he said, I'm provoked because they do not follow me, and they do not know what? My way. Here's the issue in life. Are you going your way, or are you going God's way? We can talk about money. We talk about marriage. We can talk about friendships. In every one of those areas, God has a way. God has his ways. And when we choose our way instead of God's way, we end up in ruins. I want to pray like the psalmist said, Lord, teach me your ways and let me walk in your path. For us, we know that following Jesus is the way. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we know that doing things the Lord's way means following Jesus, following Christ in his way. You know, I want to encourage you in 2017. This year, I want to encourage you to hang out, to connect with, and be a part of groups of people that are going God's way. Don't hang out, can I say this? Don't hang out with fools. Don't connect, follow, and learn the ways of people that are doing life not God's way. It might sound smart to you. It might sound cool. It might sound brilliant. It might sound popular. It might sound in to do things a certain way. But I'm telling you, you better look really hard at the direction that people around you are pursuing. My advice, if you want to prosper in 2017, if you want your head to be right, is get around people that are dedicating themselves to doing life God's way. Stop pushing your opinion, stop pushing your preference, and learn the ways of the Lord. And get with people that are following after God's way. There's no perfect people anywhere, but you know some people are going to take you the wrong direction. And so it's good, it's nice to know everybody, it's nice to love everybody, but I would hang out with and follow people that are following God's way. Can I have an amen on a Sunday morning? Why don't you shout hallelujah for about 20 seconds right now here? All right? Don't be a fool that's going his own way. And what I love about this series coming up, the opportunity to get into small groups and do life together and hear each other's stories and connect and pray together, is that we're all following together and we're doing it God's way. It's beautiful. So the first way, we're not going to choose that way. That's the way of a fool. And a fool tries to do it how? His own way. Now, the second way, you'll find this interesting. The other road you can take in life is the road of a fickle person. And a fickle person tries to have it both ways. A fickle person tries to have it both ways. You ever meet somebody like that? Maybe you've been in that place in your life as well, where you want to kind of have one foot in the world because I likes it. I like the sound of it. I like the feel of it. I like the excitement of, you know, a little bit of sin, a little bit of worldliness, a little bit of, you know, I like that. And I like to have me some Jesus too. I like to keep one foot in the world and one foot in Jesus. That way I don't have to make a choice. I get the best of this and I get the best of this. See, it's like Monday through about 1 a.m. on Saturday night. Sunday morning, right? Just do me some. And then I got my Sunday thing as well, because I'm down with Jesus. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like to go to church. I like to lift my hands. And that way, you know, I don't have to upset anybody. You know, with my unchristian friends, I could be just like them. Then when I'm with my Christian friends, I could be just like them. And it works out great. James tells it like it is. He's talking about prayer. He's actually talking about unanswered prayer, which can be a mystery. Why isn't God answering my prayers? And he says this. When you pray, you have to ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Problem diagnosis. He is a what? Why isn't he receiving? Why isn't he going to get anything from God? Because he is a double-minded man and he is unstable in all of his. Oh my goodness. You cannot have it both ways. Oh, it's quiet in here today. This is so right. What I'm sharing with you is absolutely so right. James said, you're trying to have one foot in the world and you're trying to have one foot in the church. You're trying to have one foot in God and one foot with the devil. You're trying to have one foot in faith and one foot in doubt. And he says, when you pray that way, you are schizophrenic. You have two minds. You are actually you're an unstable person. In all of your ways, your finances are unstable, your marriage is unstable, your faith is unstable, nothing is going to work for you because you haven't decided. You haven't made a choice. You've said, I want it both ways, but honey, it doesn't work that way. You can't have it both ways. You can't be married and single at the same time. Women won't let you treat them that way. And you know what? God won't let you treat him that way. God says, you need to make a choice or I can't actually help you. I can't really answer your prayers. I mean, would you be shocked if you said, hey, Lord, here's what I want you to do. And God said, look, I can't help you. I can't do that for you because you're double-minded. You're not really aligned. You're not pursuing the right things. You're not doing it my way. Let not that man suppose that he shall receive anything from the Lord. So if we say, I want God and I want the world, I want to be married and I want to be single, it doesn't work. I want to be skinny and I want to overeat, right? How's that going to work for you, right? And here's one that comes up every once in a while. And I don't know what to say when a person says to me, I want to be in ministry. I want God to use my life, but I don't want to take any responsibility. I don't want to join anything. Is there a spot for me like that where I can be in charge of things and I can be used by God, but all of my nights and all of my weekends are free? I don't know how to help you with that. I don't know how to get you involved in the things of God with zero time. I don't know how you can be a leader, for example, and not take responsibility and not maybe play by some rules. I don't know how to help a person like that that says, I want to be used by God like crazy. I want to serve. I'm all about God. I'm all about church. I'm all about people, but I'd like, is there a spot for me where I don't have to show up? And I don't really know how to help a person like that. That person is double-minded. They want their cake and they want to eat it too. And it doesn't actually work that way. Now, here's a key. Here's what I want you to write down. When you try to have it both ways, all right, are you ready for this? When you try to have it both ways, you end up with nothing. That's what James said. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. It's time to make a decision. 1 Kings 18, verse 21 says this. How long will you try to have it both ways? If the Lord is God, follow him. Everyone say follow. Follow. Now we're going to get to that in just a minute because that's the third way. If the Lord is God, then follow him. Right? It matters what direction you're going. The fool tries to have it his own way. A fickle person tries to have it both ways. But here's the third piece of this. A follower chooses God's way. Now, I know I'm talking to followers of Jesus this morning. I am with a company of people that are decisive. They have decided to pursue God. They're here in a church on a Sunday morning, a perfectly beautiful day. The sun is shining, but you're here because you've made a decision, I believe. You've made a decision to do life God's way, and you are a follower. Now, John chapter 8, verse 31 clarifies what we're following and the exact nature of doing it God's way. Jesus said, if you continue to what? Follow. That means pursue. That's what a disciple is, after all, somebody who's pursuing Jesus. If you continue to follow my teaching, you really are my disciples, and you will know the truth. And here's the benefit. Here's what you'll get. The fool ends up in ruin. The fickle ends up with nothing. But the follower ends up free. The follower ends up blessed and satisfied. He said, if you follow me, and I know it's not intuitive to give when you don't have, and I know it's not intuitive to serve when you want to be great, and I know it's not intuitive to let go of your life when you want to gain your life, and all the things that Jesus teaches us, to die if we want to live, that's not intuitive. It's actually hard to make the decision to say, God, I want to follow you, I want to do it your way. But if you will follow Jesus and do it his way, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Proverbs 14, verse 14 says this, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. I want to say this to us. When you go God's way, you end up how? Satisfied. Today, my message for you is just very simple. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. The Bible says this, commit your way to the Lord and he'll bring it to pass. What you've got to do is make up your mind to pursue God, but you've got to pursue him his way. Your way, the double-minded way, the selfish way, is not going to work. I want to challenge you in 2017. Let's, this year, do it God's way. I don't really care what the commentators on TV are saying. I'm not really all that interested in what movie stars and sports figures have to say about any. There's too many voices right now. There's too much going on. Everybody's piping off and everybody's, you know what? Let's keep, in 2017, let's keep it simple and do it God's way. Let's do it God's way. Let's follow Jesus. If that means you have to tell your friends, I can't do that with you. I'm not a part of that. That's not my thing. Okay, I love you, but I'm not about that. I'm a follower of Jesus. So you take that stand and watch the direction that your life will go. In 2017, let's do it God's way. Amen. Just bow your heads. I want to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for it. I thank you for your word. It's very clear. It's very sharp. It goes right to our heart. It touches me, Lord. It touches every one of us. The challenge to rise above our selfish ways, to rise above our double-minded ways, and to do things your way. I pray for grace, Lord, for every one of us. I pray for people that, just like me, we struggle with trying to do it our way. Give us the courage and the strength, Lord, to let go of our way and to begin to follow Jesus, follow his way. Lord Jesus, I thank you for making yourself real to every one of us and giving us such clear direction, Father. Now give us the courage, give us the heart as we face this whole new year ahead of us, that we will begin to do things your way in our marriages, in our finances, in everything that we do. We choose your way, Lord. Just while your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, we're going to close the service in just a moment. give you an opportunity to give, and we're going to sing, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you. But before we close, I really want to bring this home for you that have maybe been in a place called backslider, or you're away from God. You probably didn't mean to go there. It's not like you made your mind up at some point probably to turn away from God, but somehow you've ended up away from God. And you realize you need to close that distance by pursuing Jesus. You need to come back to Christ. You need to come back to God's way. I think that's really what the Holy Spirit would be saying to many people right now. Come back to me. Come back to my way. And if that's you, I want to pray for you. And if you've never received Christ before, I want to give you that opportunity, that privilege today to say to Jesus, Lord, I turn my life completely over to you. I want to follow you. If that's you, just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I would love it if you would let me know that's you and I could pray for you just by raising your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. Lift your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Pray for me. I'm making a decision today. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Yeah, keep it up. Don't be afraid. Nobody's looking. This is only between you and God. There's four people. There's five people. There's six people. There's seven people. I'm coming to you, Jesus. I want to turn my life completely over. I don't want my way. There's eight people. I don't want to do it my way anymore. If you're in the cafe, you can raise your hand. If you're watching online, just lift a hand in faith to God. Say, Lord, I'm making a choice today. I will pursue you. Now I'm going to pray for you that have lifted your hands. Go ahead and put your hand down. Father, I pray a supernatural encounter, a supernatural power, a supernatural breaking of the chains to the past, and a brand new path, Lord, a brand new way in Christ, in Jesus, Lord. Set them free and change their life today in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you all look at me? Everybody just look right at me. We're going to say a prayer. There's a prayer coming up on the screen. I want to invite everyone to say it. You raised your hand just a moment ago. There were 10 people raising their hands. And by the way, Gateway, what do we think about that? Is that amazing? Is that amazing? Okay, so we're going to say a prayer. We'll close out in just a couple minutes, but I want to say this prayer, all of us together, listening online, cafe, right here in the auditorium. Let's lift our voice, and for those of you that prayed that, lifted your hand, this is really your moment to say, Jesus, I'm welcoming you into my life. Here we go. We're all going to pray. Father God, thank you for the promise of blessing and freedom in Christ. I've grown so tired of my ways. Teach me your ways. Lord Jesus, I want everything that you have for me, and I'm choosing to pursue it. Thank you for saving me and satisfying me. In Christ's name, amen. If you raised your hand just a minute ago, I'm going to ask you to do something. Fill out that card that says, I've decided. If you're new in the church, do the same thing. The other side of it says, I'm new here. In a moment, the offering container is going to come by. I'd like to have those cards in that container so we can connect with you more deeply, okay? We want to help you and serve you. Now, the ushers are going to come at this time. I want to say thank you for your giving and your generosity to our church. You can always give by text or give online. People give in four or five different ways in our church. We appreciate it all. If you're putting in your offering into the offering container, that's great today. Please put your cards with your prayer requests. Give us some feedback. Let us know how we can connect with you. Let's worship the Lord. Then I'll come back and close in prayer in just a moment. Lord, we need your strength. It's hard to pick up our cross and follow you. We're not going to sugarcoat that. But it's even harder to do it by ourselves. I pray for the grace and strength of God to come on every one of our lives, that in 2017, we will pursue your way above every other way, Lord. Give us the grace, Lord. Let that click deep inside of us. And let us move together, Lord, to a better place. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. And the people said amen. Now, just before you go, I want to invite our prayer teams to come. We have a few of our pastors, elders, intercessors, prayer people that are going to come right now. Would you just come? I would say to you, if you came today hurting in your body, hurting in your heart, you just need to check in with someone. If you raised your hand a minute ago, if you want to make a decision for the Lord and you just want to connect with someone, I would say come forward and talk to somebody here today. Take 5 minutes and receive prayer, because your need is very important to us. So we want to connect with you. If that's you, you come receive that. Also, if you're new in the church, I'd love to meet you. Me and a few of our pastors will be in room 201 to my left and to your right. We're going to have a welcome weekend, just a 10-minute reception for you to say hello. We have a gift to give you and just connect with you more personally. And if you want to take this journey with us for the next 6 weeks, you want to get one of those books, stop by the table, grab your book. You can also get it next week, but better get it done this week. Grab your book, and we'll help you get into a small group and be a part of this journey. I love each and every one of you. Thank you for being here. I bless you in the name of the Lord. Take a minute, say hello to two or three people, high five them, fist bump them, touch elbows, however you roll, it's all good. And love each other. All right, I love you guys. God bless you. Let's get started in our pursuit. New people, join me, room 201. Welcome weekend.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our